Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Stugatz today, quietly, way too quietly, is the anniversary of the greatest play in sports history. May 26th, 1993, Cleveland Indian Carlos Martinez hits a ball to right field. It bounces off of the head of a cartoonish Jose Canseco,
yep,
and goes for a home run. The odds of that play happening to Jose Canseco, of all people, like, it's a funny play happening to anybody, but it's funniest. Like, you won't come up with someone funnier. Maybe Manny Ramirez, maybe. It'd be hard in a hypothetical, in a fictitious hypothetical, to come up with a greater play that's funnier than that one, because specifically what the odds are of a ball flying off a bat and an outfielder being so bad.
But being, yet so good.
Yes, being so bad and yet so good that the ball bounces off of his head. Not just like, Stugatz, of all the things to be amazed by on that play, one of them is it can't feel good to have a home run ball bounce off your skull, and yet Jose Canseco has next to no reaction to the ball, sort of, I don't know if those supermarket rubber balls are still a thing that they sell in the gumball machines, but the way that it ricocheted off his head suggested that there was a great deal of force that ball hit his head with, and he had very little in the way of reaction other than total bewilderment.
Canseco wasn't feeling much back then, and he was a great player. I'm wondering, do the gumball machines still exist? I mean, I hear you, and I love a good gumball and a good gumball machine. Do those still exist when you go to your local supermarket? Because I would stop every time when I was a kid.
Certainly during a pandemic, they're not doing things that you put your hands all over. Like, you can't get anything like that. Put it up on the poll at Lebatard Show. Is the ball bouncing off of Jose Canseco's head for a home run the greatest play in sports history? And do supermarkets still have gumball machines? I wanted to play some sound for you, Stugatz, and I don't know how good this sound is because it was 12 minutes long and I sent it to Billy, but Billy had what he's calling a delightful social media and telephone blackout weekend. So I haven't been able to talk to him about anything. So Billy, help me with this sound. Is this sound as loud wrong as I imagine it to be, given that what happened this weekend with Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, and Peyton Manning is a monster success? There are, clearly, given the ratings, 6 million desperate fans. Given that the documentary on Michael Jordan did this number, and given that this match did this number, there are 6 million lunatics out there who are just dying because of the cold turkey withdrawal from sports that need something. And so many people watch Tom Brady rip his pants in the single most human moment Tom Brady has ever had.
They were also dying to bet on a live sporting event. And I'm telling you, in golf betting, like in-game betting, is like crack cocaine, man. It really is. I'm telling you.
So let me ask you this. If that is indeed the reason, if it's betting, If I did this in reverse, would it have done a big number? Peyton Manning and Tom Brady throwing passes to Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods? Like, is the desperation for sports such that if I just put a bunch of famous people out there running around doing anything, are you going to get 6 million viewers because they're famous and talking trash to each other?
Probably. I mean, I'd watch that if you had, you know, if you had Tiger and Phil catching passes from Brady and Manning. I'd sit around and watch that for a couple hours.
All
sure.
Right, put that on the poll. Would you watch Tom Brady and Peyton Manning throwing passes competitively to Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson? Billy, so why did you do a social media blackout? Why did you do a telephone blackout? And how peaceful was it? I am insanely jealous of you. That's how you spent your long weekend. My guess is it feels like a spiritual meditation, that you have arrived in a more tranquil life place, that you haven't had to check, you know, what somebody put up on their Instagram for dinner that night, a picture of. So what do you have for us on that front, Billy?
It was delightful. Now, Dan, I'm only human, as, you know, the rest of us are. So obviously I had my temptations, and occasionally I'd go on my phone and be like, no, you need to stop it. Here's the best way, if I could tell you my strategy to avoid social media, like over the weekend, just delete it from your phone. If I delete Twitter and Instagram from my phone, I then have to go and reinstall it. And then that whole thing is going to take, and then I have to remember my password, and I have to send myself recovery emails because, of course, I've forgotten my password. Who remembers your password for any of those things? So if you just delete it from your phone, you almost can't get on it. So that was great. Absolutely great. Now, this sound, which you teed up to before, I don't know if we're still going to the sound. This sound was our good friend Chris Russo. Dan, you know Mad Dog Chris Russo?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So you want to know how wrong he is. The starting point on it is that no one during the pandemic wants to see rich people play golf. And he says that he will not be watching it. And he starts going on this whole thing. I guarantee you that he was watching yesterday or Monday. What day is today?
All right. Good Sunday. Talk. Thank you. That's all right. You can leave now. So Sunday is when this happened. We will get to Chris Russo being loud wrong from Mad Dog Sports Radio in a second. I can't believe, Stugatz, that it did the number that it did, even as everyone says that it was a great deal of fun. I did not see it. But the idea that 6 million people watch this is flabbergasting to me, although the consensus seems to be, like, I'm not hearing a whole lot of criticism of it. The consensus seems to be that everybody is so starved that they love it. So you wanted to say what here before we play this Mad Dog sound?
I'm not certain. Yes, people are starved. There's no question about it. But Dan, I was critical of the match last year, and granted, there's nothing going on, so I'm going to be less critical this year. But they learned from their mistakes last year. The additions of Brady and Manning and being able to see two world-class athletes, two of the game's greatest quarterbacks, be relatable, struggle at a sport the way you and I would struggle if we were out there playing golf. That was really cool. And then just allowing Charles to be Charles, and Tiger and Phil were way more relaxed this time around than they were last year. It was just a lot of fun. Forget about loving golf. If you love a little smack talk, if you love seeing guys, you know, great athletes who look like me and you out there, it really was. It was well done. It was a lot of fun. And Charles did an amazing job.
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Have you tried to end your social media addiction by deleting Twitter and Instagram and Facebook from your phone? Let's go ahead and play that the sound from Mad Dog Radio. I want to see how loud wrong Chris Russo was talking about how this would not be a success, this golf match between Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning.
Do I want to see Tom Brady score the ball all over the place? Or Manning? I saw it at the AT&T Challenge with Peyton Manning. I got to see it again? Mickelson, who's not been a factor in a major championship in years, yet it's somehow Mickelson's idea. To think the average American sports fan is going to die to see Brady and Manning jet on a private plane and play golf and have fun and all that kind of stuff on a clear day with blue skies and enjoying themselves when you and I can't get out of the driveway is absolutely ridiculous. Go find a couple of receivers. Go find an empty football field somewhere with nobody on it. Show some distancing. Do everything from the shotgun. So get a guy to snap you the ball. And I want you to explain every route that a receiver runs with you as a Patriot and Manning as a Colt. Every single one. And then give me basically a little infomercial with the situation, and I can watch that, and I can learn what a quarterback thinks with the receiver on his play when he's, what's Omaha mean? Then I'll get into it. Play what you do best. I don't need to see Brady and Manning play a sport that they're not that much good at. They're not better than I on, for crying out loud. I don't need to see you play golf when I can't play, and nor can the average citizen. That page isn't open. How about all those people in Long Island there who play golf on Saturday mornings? They can't play. It's closed. But Brady and Manning, because they're Brady and Manning, can fly their Jetstream jets and go to some godforsaken place that nobody in America could ever become a member of. And they're going to go play 18 holes against each other in a match play thing. Two average 15 handicaps. Who knows who they are? And they're going to say, we'll donate all the money to the charity. But we're going to have to pay for the charity because it's going to be, you're going to have to pay for it. There's no charity unless we pay for it. And it's a bad, bad look. We got people who are broke, out of work. The economy is going to fall apart. But it's okay for Brady and Manning to go fly to play with Tiger and Phil. And Phil doesn't deserve to be there anyway. Enough of Mickelson. He's 50 years old. Enough. And if Brady and Manning want to be beneficial to the American sports fan, you know what? Do some instructional film. I'd watch it. Put on the NFL Network, like Lombardi used to do with the power sweep. And there's a seam here, and there's a seam there, and you run this play right up the alley. Do that. The two best quarterbacks of all time, don't try to have fun when the rest of us might be sitting in houses with kids and wives for the next 9 months.
nearly 6 million viewers. They raised $20 million for charity. That is Hater 101 right there. He basically was just yelling at them for being rich and for being allowed to do things he can't do.
I would watch them, though, explain Omaha. I mean, it is a good idea. I got to be honest. Both are good ideas. Can't they both be good ideas?
I love how in the middle of all of that, and by the way, that is 1/6 of the length of what he actually did. Like, he went 12 minutes on that. We only gave you 2. I just love the idea that in the middle of that, the stray thought came in. Tell me what Omaha means.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves, in the world, and, of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 or share a video or text using the hashtag Dear Sports on Twitter or Instagram. Here's your SportsCenter update. National Basketball Players Association Executive Director Michelle Roberts said the overwhelming sentiment has been that they really want to play and resume the 2019-2020 NBA season, most likely in late July at Disney's ESPN Wide World of Sports in Orlando, Florida. Turner Sports said the Sunday telecast of the match, Champions for Charity, attracted an average of 5.8 million viewers across 4 of its networks. Turner said it was the most watched golf telecast in cable TV history. And finally, the U.S. birth rate is at its lowest in 35 years. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
You and Mike Ryan sound like you have been drinking Jägermeister all weekend from a fire hose, just really? Sort of spraying it into your face. You both sound like I can hear the long weekend in both of your voices. The amount of phlegm gargled up feels and sounds like it has some disease in it.
Oh, I'm trying to play cool right now. My little daughter got me sick for the first time, but we're in a pandemic, and I can't get a common cold nowadays without freaking everybody out, so I'm kind of bummed that you noticed.
Mine was Jägermeister.
We need to get basketball back, Stugatz, if for no other reason. Is there's no telling what James Harden's going to look like if this goes on for three more months. Like, it is jarring. Like, it's one thing. LeBron James looks like a 60-year-old man who's lived a hard life with his beard. Dwayne Wade has decided to make his hair blonde briefly and then red. As he continues his quest for Father of the Year, because he doesn't mind, supporting his child, wherever it is that he can. And so his hair is now red. But James Harden, I don't know how to explain to people who haven't seen it what James Harden looks like. First of all, the pot belly is gone. He looks emaciated. He looks like somebody would look if they didn't have money to eat. Like, they just, that's how they would look. They didn't have, to eat or groom. That right. There was no money to either groom yourself or eat. Some people have pointed out that he looks a little bit like, I'm the captain now, in, what was the name of that movie? I'm forgetting the name of that
Captain
movie.
Captain Phillips?
The Tom Hanks movie. Yeah, he looks like, yeah, I don't know whether
is that the character's name? I'm the captain now?
I don't know how to explain it to people who have not seen it, but it.
Oh yeah, he looks like to be in the best shape of his life, James Harden.
He looks very thin. He does not.
He's wearing leggings.
He looks like he's balding a little bit. What he doesn't look like is an MVP. He doesn't look like the MVP of basketball.
To be fair, he looks more like the MVP now than he did before.
The hair
is straggly. Yeah, he looks like he hasn't seen a barber in a while, but I kind of dig it. Wait, I thought James Harden would have been the top of my list of guys that didn't take care of himself during the pandemic, and he looks good.
He's the top of my list to set back the NBA season in Orlando because he's gone to a strip club and gotten something that that when he's coming back into the bubble, he's going to get tested for. It's just going to be a host of diseases, and he's going to just sabotage Houston's chances because of the nearby strip club situation.
I'm with Mike, though. I think Harden looks like this. This appears to be James Harden in really, really good shape. I mean, this is like peak James Harden right here. I think James Harden could come back, Dan. I'm serious. And maybe have the best, 15, 20 games of his career.
What?
He's in great shape. I'm telling you, this is James Harden.
He's just thin. You don't know what kind of shape he's in. He's just thinner. Like, he's in great shape is what you're saying? How could you possibly know that?
I mean, I always thought to myself, Harden needs to lose a little weight, and he's apparently done that. I think it's going to make him quicker on the court. I think it's going to help improve his game. And Mike, I feel like you're with me on this. I think we're going to see a better James Harden, a more athletic James Harden, one who doesn't spend the entire night at the foul line.
I don't think we're going to see a better anybody. Like, I don't think anybody is going to be better. It's just going to be a bunch of diluted versions of everybody.
I can't wait to see who's better. I don't know if you've noticed what's happened in the Bundesliga. By the way, we have a huge sporting event today, Der Klassiker. Happens today. This is massive. Dortmund versus Bayern Munich, but only three teams have won. They're out of 17 at home. Home field advantage is gone now in that sport. So what's going to happen is we're going to have major upsets. If Brian Windhorst is joining us later today, there's talk of a 1-16. There's talk of a World Cup style return. They're still trying to figure it out. I can't wait for an NBA finals and NBA playoffs. It's going to be littered with upsets.
There is talk, Stugatz, and I want to ask Windhorst about this, that Durant will come back if it's 16 versus the Lakers. If it's Kyrie Irving and him against the Lakers, if Kyrie Irving can indeed get back in order to play against the Lakers, that would be interesting. We'll ask Windhorst about that. But Mike, who's a giant Chelsea fan, there is a fascinating story going on there, and I'm wondering whether something like this is going to happen with basketball, because it's already happened overseas. Mike, give the people the background on what that story is.
N'Golo Kanté is a central midfielder for Chelsea. He's a tiny player, a bit of a pit bull, one of the best man markers there is in the entire world. He's an incredible defender, has really improved his overall game, signed the richest contract in Chelsea history a couple seasons ago. He returned to training when the squad came back last week, and then he left promptly after the first training session. Led people questioning, why did he even go to the first one? What's the reason for this? Because he's the highest profile player in all the world that has had reservations about returning to training and football during the pandemic.
Well, he's not reservations. He's not coming back, right?
Well, it doesn't appear. He has the full support of the club. See, N'Golo Kanté has a tragic family history. His younger brother dropped dead. His father dropped dead. They had heart issues. And one thing that wasn't reported was N'Golo Kanté once passed out at Cobham Training Facility where Chelsea trained after a practice, and he was made really scared given his family history. There does seem to be, in terms of the people that get coronavirus bad, the more we learn about it, previous heart conditions are a factor.
Compromised immune systems.
Yeah, it your chances are worse. So, given his family history, he saw the training session, went through it, and was made uncomfortable, and has left, has a full support from Chelsea Football Club. But this is a monster star. This is a guy that signed the richest contract in Chelsea history, deciding, I'm not returning to football during the pandemic. And, it'll be interesting to see if in American sports, if we have something comparable, because this is a major, major star.
Stugatz, I don't think American sports fans emotionally invested in their team that I can give them many details that they would be good with Greek Freak or anybody else sabotaging a season. Those particular details, I think people can understand. Family history of dying early, but you'll recall that Orlando Brown, the offensive lineman who pushed a referee after the referee threw a flag that hit him in the eye, bought himself no favors when we found out that his father had also lost his eyesight in an incident, and what he was doing with that referee was panicking because of the family history. It wasn't like he was met with a whole lot of understanding because of that.
Now, so far, you'll have wayward voices on social media that are giving N'Golo Kanté a hard time, but it's been met with pretty overwhelming support. And one of the interesting things is he's had a full run-through in terms of physicians testing him for this pre-existing condition. He doesn't have it. He's just really in his own head about what's happened to his family.
How could you not be if this is something that ran in your family and killed your brother and father early? I feel like I have to push it out into the extremes, Stugatz, for someone like you, an emotional sports fan, to be okay with the idea of their season being nuked because one of their most important players simply doesn't want to play, and their highest priced player just doesn't want to play, even though his reasons for not playing are totally reasonable.
Yeah, I don't think people want to listen. People in general, even when we're not under a pandemic, reasonable doesn't really work. I mean, now you have people cooped up who wish they can go out and earn a lot of money, earn any money, and go out and play a sport for a living. And you're going to have an athlete say, hey, I'm concerned about my health conditions. I'm not going to go play a game of NBA basketball. That's not going to go over well. It's just not going to go. The only way that goes over, Dan, is if a family member is affected or if the athlete himself or herself is affected. That's the only way fans are going to forgive.
We get to the crazy Lenny Dykstra stories next.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Watch new shower session videos now at youtube.com/progressive. Brian Windhorst is going to join us here in just a minute. Here's your SportsCenter update. Georgetown Hoyas men's basketball coach Patrick Ewing is recovering at home after a weekend stay at the hospital with the coronavirus. The Rays opened Tropicana Field to limited workouts on Monday with 14 players. The Astros and Angels announced that their ballparks and spring training facilities will open. And finally, Ruby Rose reportedly quit Batwoman, not because of a severe onset injury she suffered last year, but because it was too much work. A source told Vulture that she was distressed by the long hours demanded of a lead television role and didn't like living in Vancouver. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So Brian Windhorst is with us now. Thank you, as always, Brian, for making the time. What are you hearing about what Bill Simmons is saying, that what basketball is trying to do is get back for July 25th and then tipping off next season, Christmas Day? Are you hearing similar things?
I don't think we're anywhere close to knowing what about anything about next season yet. I think that's obviously under discussion without a doubt. July 25th sounds about right. I don't know if they've got it locked down, but it sounds about right. I'm going to say that as a sort of a disclaimer, things are very fluid, and making any sort of proclamation, and I don't mean from a media, I mean even people within the league. When I'm talking to teams during every day, and they don't know how it's going to go. They're asking me, what are you hearing? Because there's some squishiness to it. But I think what's going to happen is that the owners are going to vote on some sort of package either Friday or have a pretty good idea what it looks like. Then we're going to get an announcement on Monday, and we're going to start the process of bringing players back for a training camp that starts mid-June and then basketball that starts mid to late July. And hopefully there's no setbacks, and that's what we're going to see.
Are you alarmed by how James Harden looks?
I haven't seen him. I read a story in The Athletic about his workouts in Phoenix. But I think one of the biggest variables in the entire thing here is what sort of condition all these guys are going to come back in. I imagine there's going to be guys who come back looking great and not so great.
When Charles Barkley says the following, you can't stop the playoffs. I think a team's just going to have to forfeit a series in the playoffs if any of their players, not even their best player, gets the virus. You're going to have to sequester the entire team, and they are going to have to forfeit a round of the playoffs. They're going to be gone from the playoffs. Does that seem possible to you?
No, Dan, because this is exactly what has happened with the league. They have gotten their minds around the reality of positive tests. I would say that the biggest thing that's happened is about 3 weeks ago, the NBA made two major shifts. They didn't put out press releases to announce them, but they were made, and that is why we are heading towards basketball and not on the sideline. Number one is they made it very well known that they were not going to use testing if there wasn't ubiquity of testing, excess testing in America. Anybody who needs a test can get it. We were not heading that way as a country, even though in the last 3 weeks we've gotten better. But they shifted, and they said that they would use testing if frontline workers and people who had symptoms could get tests. And they even got a press release or a statement from the Orange County, Florida, which is where Orlando is, health department, that said, hey, we've got enough tests for our frontline workers. The Magic can go back to their practice facility, where that was code for, you can come here with your bubble and play here. The second thing that they did was they moved off the concept that you would need to isolate an entire team or shut the league down if one person tested positive like they did in March. They shifted from that to believing that very heavily frequent testing with other layers of protection would mean you could just take that player out and keep on going. I know that they did this in talking to the CDC and talking to their other medical experts. We are all hoping that that is true and that it can be done that way and that you can avoid any players getting testing positive. But nobody knows for sure. It's all a guessing game, and that's what makes it so scary, to be quite frank.
Brian Windhorst with us here on ESPN Radio. Brian, have any players voiced any sort of concern to you about coming back?
Oh, yes. I talked to Larry Nance Jr., who has a pre-existing condition, and said that he would hope that any player that would not feel comfortable coming back, either from their own health or from the health of their immediate family, would not be penalized in any way. He'd wait, to use his phrasing, would get a pass. Joe Ingles from the from the Jazz, who has a son who has immune compromise, has said that he may not play. That if he doesn't feel comfortable, he may just go to Australia and skip out on it and not play really forever again. So while I believe that most players do want to play, especially the players who are competing for a championship, one of the variables here is I do believe that there's going to be some players who, for various reasons, just don't want to come back. And that could be a factor in how this, you know, playoff chase lines up, depending on who those players are.
I saw a tweet this weekend from Hoop Central saying, never forget the way that Wade and LeBron coughed to mock Dirk Nowitzki during a finals when Dirk Nowitzki clearly had the flu. I think that's the last championship that was won by a single star basketball team. Why does Dirk not get more credit for playing a flu game where he beat LeBron and Dwayne after they mocked him by coughing about his flu?
Yeah, I remember, first off, it was 166 degrees in Dallas at that time. It was so hot. And Dirk was at the press conference, you know, in a full, like, winter outfit with his hood zipped up to his, or his jacket zipped up to his nose. And, you know, Dirk was one of these guys who picked up the microphone. He didn't like to leave it on the stand. He'd pick up the microphone and put it right in his face. And I remember thinking, boy, that microphone's probably, you know, pretty nasty. You might want to stay away from that. Of course, that's laughable now. He also, in that series, tore a ligament in his finger in game one. Another thing that wasn't remembered. Dirk's play in that whole postseason was some of the highest level of basketball we've seen in the last 15 or 20 years. You know, but that playoffs, that finals, as you know, Dan, was really about LeBron and the Heat's failings. It was remembered that way. It'll never be remembered in Dallas that way. It was a glorious, their guys all played well. They had a great game plan. Rick Carlisle completely outcoached Eric Spoelstra. Eric will be the first to admit that. But the way that history looks on the Heatles is that they look at that as one that they lost, not the one that the Mavericks won.
Brian, now this is an impossible question to answer, but I'm just wondering, based on your knowledge of the game, the current situation, I'm really looking for your opinion. Does anyone want to come back and play more than LeBron James?
I mean, he's got, well, first off, I think Giannis does. I mean, they're trying to win a championship, and they were on pace for 70 wins, and they think that they can do it. So I think the Bucks are pretty incentivized. Yeah, I mean, this is really important to LeBron. Now, he has vacillated a little bit. So when he won the 2016 championship, and I can understand this, he was feeling pretty chesty that summer. And he gave an interview to Lee Jenkins of Sports Illustrated where he said, I'm chasing that ghost. And he sort of allowed himself to think about going after a Jordan. But then Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors, and the Cavs were really not able to be on the equal footing, and then he's gone to L.A. and it's been difficult there in the Clippers, and he's changed his verbiage and started talking about how, as far as he's concerned, his legacy is in place. He doesn't need anything, and I, by the way, I agree with that. I don't think anyone's ever going to say he would underachieve as a player. But that said, I mean, it's just simple math. It's simple human nature. He's 35 years old. He doesn't have 10 years left. He knows his team was really good. He feels like they were coming together. He wants a shot at it. He wants a 6-week run to do it. The other thing is, I think he's probably worked very hard during this break. He's always a guy who keeps himself in very good shape. And he may think that that's an advantage, that his body and his conditioning may be an advantage when he gets back, even though they lose home court advantage. And I think they actually, like, the Clippers could be the biggest winner in this, because the Clippers were potentially facing the Lakers in a hallway series where every game was going to be a Laker home game. You know, they lose that advantage potentially now in that series if it happens. But for sure, I mean, anybody who's running out of years, this means more, because the fewer you have of something, inherently the value is higher.
Stugatz's weekend observation is going to be in 20 minutes. The Hoop Collective show, Brian Windhorst's podcast, is something you should check out. You said recently on that show that Durant coming back was a possibility as a 16 seed to face the Lakers. Like, it hasn't been dismissed.
I speculate that it's a possibility. I know what Woj said which is that, you know, there's no plans to bring him back. But there was a reason that Sean Marks said what he said in New Zealand. I don't think he thought it was going to become a storyline on every television and radio show in the United States, but there was a reason he said that. And maybe, look, maybe the answer is that he's not coming back. Maybe no matter what happens, he's not coming back. But I'm just going to say, we see that Kyrie Irving is working out again. If indeed it's late July, that would mean that they would have 7 or 8 weeks from now to get ready for it. And there's a discussion point. I don't know if it'll happen, but it's a discussion point that they could do 1 through 16 seeding in this. It's something that could happen. And if that happens, it would be Nets Lakers in the first round. You know, if you told Kevin Durant that he had, you know, that was the case. I mean, look, Kevin had the coronavirus. I don't know where he is from a health standpoint. But I'm just saying that it's one thing to say that I'm not coming back in early May when you were looking like the number 7 seed and you're going to maybe make a token appearance in the playoffs. It's another thing to know that you're coming back at the end of July and to know that you might face LeBron in the first round and use a chance you could have Kyrie.
Brian, good catching up with you, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. Didn't mean to cut you off, but we're out of time, so I did mean to cut you off. Thank you for being on with us. I appreciate it.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's your SportsCenter update. Georgetown Hoyas men's basketball coach Patrick Ewing is recovering at home after a weekend stay at the hospital with the coronavirus. Damian Lillard doesn't plan to participate in a resumed NBA season if the Blazers don't have a, quote, true opportunity to make the playoffs. And finally, Netflix says it will now start to cancel accounts that have watched nothing in more than a year but have still been paying subscription fees. The company said the move would save forgetful customers money. I would advise against that. It's a nice thing to do. I would just, it's not a great business strategy. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu maximum arthritis pain relief cream is non-greasy, deep penetrating, and odor free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu maximum arthritis cream. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Did you hear that? Netflix business titan Stugatz has some advice for you. Don't be kind and give away your money because you're charging people and they're not using your product.
I mean, it's not their responsibility. If people signed up and they have it on auto charge and they have it fixed, that is not Netflix's responsibility to fix it for them. It is their responsibility to themselves and their shareholders to take as much money as possible.
Chris, what do you have here? I saw you flinch a little bit and turn a little red when Stugatz spit out his Stugatzian principle.
Well, I'm kind of a little skeptical of Netflix here. The amount of people that are doing this must be really low for them to be making this sacrifice. If 50 million people were doing that, I guarantee you their strategy would be a little different.
Time now for Stugatz's weekend observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Dan... an older, more relaxed Tiger playing on his home course combined with peak Phil throwing a couple of legendary quarterbacks and some Chuck being Chuck and boom, just like that, the match is back. Speaking of back, Mike Tyson. ESPN.com, 5:50 p.m., Saturday afternoon, second headline, Eli Manning joins Twitter, hashtag COVID-19, Sam Darnold, some advice, look straight ahead, do not look over your shoulder, I repeat, Do not. I love that when Sam Darnold does decide to take a peek behind his shoulder, what he'll see, if the sun is shining exactly correct on him, is a man who looks like a Trojan warrior. You've led a miserable football existence when signing a former Super Bowl MVP who is well past his prime. Makes you happy.
Oh, no. It makes you happy? You think Sam Darnold is looking over his shoulder at Joe Flacco?
Oh, I know he is.
Oh, for the love of God.
First it was Mono, and now it's Flacco. I mean, it's unbelievable. I hate them, by the way. I mean, this is what excites me. I'm 47. Death, taxes, and every 6 months or so, a sad story about Ryan Leaf. ProFootballTalk.com, 6 p.m. Saturday. Top headline.
Oh, no.
One expatriate thinks Belichick will choose Hoyer over Stidham. Hashtag COVID-19. I mean, seriously. The University of Michigan president said if students don't return to campus, there will be no football. Good for him. I'm guessing that playing football without the students returning would make it seem something like professional sports. And we wouldn't want that. Whatever. You'll never love anything the way Phil Mickelson loves golf. You won't. See you in court, pal. Syndergaard. That's something my dad would say. He's 77. Ridiculous. I saw a headline that said Magic Johnson weighed in on the Jordan-LeBron debate. I didn't click on it because A, there is no debate. And B, whatever Magic said was the most obvious thing ever said about the debate. The Chiefs aren't going to kick off again until like 2035. Seriously. Dan, would you kick off if you had Patrick Mahomes and one down to get 15 yards? Would you? I would never. Ever. Would you?
You hate the new onside rules? You love them? We'll get to that later.
Oh, I can't stand them. I don't want to get on Alex Smith, but you guys were so right and I was so wrong because it would take Alex Smith seven downs to get 15 yards. I mean, anyway, why do we love Phil so much? He goes for it on every shot, gambles on every shot, drives his cart where he's not supposed to. He's like us. He's a Gooligan. In-game betting on golf is what I imagine crack to be like. Golf can humble you, unless you're as good looking as Tom Brady. By the way, I don't sit around thinking about smoking crack and what it would be like. I was just trying to make a point. To the people who called the starter at my golf course to inform him, I was on a fairway on a course that was cart path only. Just know, I did so unknowingly. I know who you are. I have a particular set of skills. You break a single rule moving forward, and that starter will be coming for you. How about that? You know what they did, Dan?
What'd they do?
They opened up a can of worms.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm sorry. They opened up a can of anacondas. Monday afternoon, 2:50 p.m. Eastern, CBSSports.com. Second headline, Hall of Fame quarterback sees himself in Joe Burrow. You know what I see, Dan?
What do you see?
Hashtag COVID-19. The quarterback, by the way, Kurt Warner. Back to that can for a second. It's really just a can of wieners. actually one small, tiny wiener. But they opened it. Back to Warner for a second. Kurt, you went undrafted. You were bagging groceries. You have nothing in common with Joe Burrow. Also, I promise you, what Joe Burrow sees when he looks at himself is not Kurt Warner. Anytime I see a headline involving Matt Barnes, I fear that Derek Fisher has lived his last day. What happened there? Carson Palmer offers.
You made Matt Barnes a murderer.
I shouldn't have done that. I didn't put it in there when I got there. Carson Palmer offered some advice to Joe Burrow. Said he could change the culture in Cincinnati, just like Carson did when he refused to ever play another down for the Bengals. Reggie Bush is making perfect sense, yet he is still the last guy I want to hear from regarding the paying of college athletes. Hell am I doing? Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Stugatz, we got to talk about that bare-knuckle fighting story that involves Mike Tyson and more than $20 million. We'll do so next.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
And finally, a wildlife biologist at the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife got word of a dead bald eagle found at Highland Lake in the town of Bridgeton. The bird, which is illegal to kill, had been found with a puncture wound in its chest, and an investigation found that the bald eagle was stabbed through the heart by the beak of a loon. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
What do you make of that story? Ron McGill joins us now. Thank you for doing so. Greg Cody not here today. He will be here tomorrow. What did you make of that bald eagle story, Ron?
Oh, just another happy, positive story by Stugatz. Just loves when he brings that stuff across.
Death and destruction. Can you tell me, I know we have the habit of making animals human, dabbling in anthropomorphic traits, but when a whale shark gets caught in some rope and then some people tie themselves to the whale shark and cut off the rope, and the whale appears to wave thank you at them when he's or she is leaving. That's us applying human traits to the whale, right? The whale is not waving in gratitude, correct?
Yeah, most likely you're right, Dan. That's not to say that the whale does not feel gratitude. You know, I take a little, I don't know the exact definition of anthropomorphism other than it seems to imply to me you're giving human traits to an animal. I believe animals can have emotions. They can feel fear. They can feel gratitude. They can feel happiness. So I think to say that animals can't feel that is very self-centered of us. Now, to interpret something that an animal does as something that we would do meaning the same thing, that's where I think you're wrong. For instance, like when a chimp smiles, a chimp is not happy. A chimp smiles, it's stressed, you know, it's agitated. So there's different body language that mean different things with animals, but they do feel the same emotions we feel. I firmly believe that.
Is there an animal that you can say conclusively will show you gratitude? It is gratitude, period.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, you know, a dog, any domestic animal pet will show you gratitude. And just the way it wags its tail and lays its head on your lap, you know, that's gratitude for being its friend, for that companionship that you offer the dog. Even though usually people look at it from the other way around, the dog's offering companionship to you. No, you're also offering companionship to the dog. And that gratitude is expressed by the wagging of the tail, the laying of the head down, you know, laying down next to you. Those are things, those are forms of gratitude.
Ron, I got a haircut last week, and I feel great. Which animal in the animal kingdom cares most about its personal grooming?
You know, I'm going to have to say it's generally speaking, the category it's birds, because birds, their personal grooming is so essential to their survival. In the sense, they have to keep their feathers in great shape. They have to keep them preened. They have to keep them clean, bathing. So, you know, birds spend a tremendous amount of time grooming their feathers, because if their feathers aren't in good shape, it's not properly oiled, properly preened, they can't fly, they can't survive. So that's a matter of survival. It's not as much ego or what's the word I'm looking for, you know, you know the word, Dan. But anyway, the bottom line is
me.
Oh my gosh, vanity. That's the word I was
exactly
looking for.
Exactly.
Stugatz, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, I'm wondering. I believe you're opening Zoom Miami back up on June 1st, and I am wondering: A, are you nervous about it? And B, just as someone operating a business, what steps are being taken as you approach that date where you will reopen the zoo and allow people to come back into and onto your property?
Well, you're right. We are opening to the general public on Monday, June 1st. We're opening to our members tomorrow, kind of like a run-through, basically, having the members come through. You know, listen, the biggest advantage we have here, guys, is that this park is huge. We have over 700 acres here at this park. If you walk every walkway, it's 3 miles of walking. So keeping social distancing should not be a big challenge here. You know, what we're doing, like most other businesses, because of the executive order here in South Florida, to enter the park, you have to be wearing a face mask. Once you're in the park, if you can, you know, maintain your social distancing, you're allowed to take the face mask off. Some things will not be open. You know, some of our water play areas, our playgrounds, of course, will be closed for the time being. And that may change as time goes on, because I understand now they're getting ready to start opening pools and stuff like that, too. But for initially, we're going to keep those things closed. The tram will not be running initially because, you know, it's harder to keep that social distancing. We will be renting our safari cycles, our strollers and things like that, with thorough cleaning before every rental. You know, food will be served with, again, social distancing, tables set far apart. We won't be having the feeding of the animals, that direct contact of feeding with the animals for the time being. But guys, I got to tell you, this stuff changes by the minute. By the minute. You say one thing, and then, you know, next hour, there's a new email that comes in and says, oh, we're doing this now. Oh, okay. So it's hard to keep up. It's very fluid.
Billy, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami? Billy Gill has a couple of questions for you, Ron. What do you got?
Ron, how do we know that our pets actually love us and don't have a form of, like, Stockholm syndrome?
You know, I think you can pretty easily differentiate between obedience and just pure companionship, that love of being with you, of being happy. I know people always, you know, the extremists get on me when I say, oh, how can you say an animal's happy? Animals aren't necessarily happy. How do you know it's happy? You know what? If an animal is thriving, it's eating, it's growing, it seems to show these types of emotions of being happy, it's happy. It's okay. So I think there's the difference, and I think that's what you see. You see the difference between a companion animal that chooses to be with you, enjoys being next to you all the time, as opposed to an animal that is obeying something because of fear of some type of retribution.
Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Yeah, Ron, now that public places are opening, how is that going to affect animals that are used to being fed by humans, and how is that going to affect animals like baby sea turtles going back to the ocean and going back to their natural habitat?
Well, you know, what we're hoping is that we learned a little bit of a lesson of how the Earth kind of was able to breathe a little bit more freely here during this time. I know it's totally naive to think we can maintain that for any extended period of time, but hopefully people can understand that, listen, if we give the Earth a chance, it can recover. And maybe we'll take a little bit more consideration. As far as like the baby sea turtles go, you know, people need to keep those lights off at night, because sea turtles instinctively follow light for the moon and things like that. And if they have lights on the shore or lights on the roadways next to the beaches, they might go the wrong way and get killed. So, you know, hopefully people are just more cognizant of these things that we can do to help animals that don't necessarily make it more difficult for us. I mean, there are workarounds. Hopefully with awareness and education, people can understand that. Animals are certainly going to have more challenges as people get back on the roads and start getting into these places that animals have recently started to explore on their own that weren't, you know, commonly seen before this. But they'll adjust, they'll adapt, and hopefully there's a little bit of a compromise. Maybe we can adapt a little bit too.
Chris, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, every neighborhood has the one house, at least here in South Florida, that feeds ducks way too much, and the ducks start cultivating around these houses. In my dad's neighborhood, it has become him. My dad and my mom have started feeding these duck families, and now they come twice a day looking for food. My question is, I kind of get uneasy by that because I feel like they're affecting the natural process of life. Are you okay with people feeding ducks, and are you okay with my dad doing it?
Okay, this is going to be something I know I'm going to get the hate mail for, and people are going to say, oh, how can you be an animal lover? I am not okay with feeding the ducks. When you start feeding wild animals, and unfortunately most of these ducks are all introduced anyway, they're non-native animals that didn't naturally occur here, but when you start feeding these animals, first of all, people feed them things that they think are good for them, and they're not really good for them. For instance, you feed bread to ducks, it's not good for ducks. Okay, it's not good for any birds, for that matter. But people start feeding these animals, and these animals start to build a dependency on people. And all of a sudden, you go on vacation or something, and the people are not there, and they got to figure, okay, I got to fend for myself. And sometimes it's more of a challenge for them that way. We've got to help ensure that animals maintain their natural instincts to get food on their own. Okay, that's part of the problem probably today with society. You know, back in the hunter-gatherer days, when people had to go out and gather their food and hunt their food or cultivate their crops, you didn't see a lot of big lazy people getting out of shape. Okay, so that's what you're doing with these animals. You're starting to make things a little too simple for them, and in the long run, you're making their lives maybe a little shorter because their health is not as good.
Anthony, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, it's been raining like crazy here in Miami the last couple of days. And my question is, what do anthills and ants do when it rains this profusely? Where do they go?
They go into people's houses. That's what you're going to see. That's why a lot of people now, exterminators, are getting the phones ringing off the hook because people are saying, oh, my God, I've got all these bugs in my house. Why are all these bugs suddenly in my house? Because they're getting drowned out of their subterranean habitat that they naturally exist in. So when you have these heavy rains, these insects will naturally look for higher ground, and that's when they get up into houses that are built up on concrete platforms and provide them with basically a big raft. So at this time of year is when you start seeing these animals as they, if they can't find a tree to go up into, if they can't find a higher ground, they'll get into houses. And that's why you're seeing so many of these insects now showing up in homes.
We will talk to you next week, Ron. Always good talking to you. Thank you for making the time, sir.
Thank you, Dan. Sound a little happier, Dan. You sound a little down today.
I'm sorry, Ron. It's not okay. That I'm down. It's like I'm the chimp, right? When I sound down, I'm actually happy. And when I'm smiling, I'm going to attack you. Thank you for
always
being on
Always a pleasure,
with
my
us.
Friend.
See ya.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Steve-O expected to join us in just a minute here. Here's your SportsCenter update. Kyle Busch won the NASCAR Xfinity Cup race at Charlotte Motor Speedway in overtime. NASCAR suspended three critical crew members for Denny Hamlin's team because a piece of tungsten fell off his car on the pace lap before the Coca-Cola 600. And finally, researchers in Australia have achieved a world record internet speed of 44.2 terabits per second, allowing users to download 1,000 HD movies in a single second. The highest commercial internet speed anywhere in the world is currently in Singapore, where the average download speed is 197.3 megabits per second. In Australia, the average download speed is 43.4 megabits per second, 1 million times slower than the speeds achieved in the latest test. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain Relief Cream is non-greasy, deep penetrating, and it's odor-free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Cream. For all the latest headlines and information, tune to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
You know him from Jackass, Jackass the Movie, Jackass Number 2, Jackass 3D, Wild Boys. He and his friends are totally nuts. They change the game in terms of doing things that are dangerous. Steve-O with us on ESPN Radio. Thank you for joining us. Hope you are well. The thing I wanted to know about first, though, I don't know how much you get asked about this, is your 1 year at the University of Miami. How did that go, and why was it only 1 year?
It was actually slightly over a year. And by the way, thanks for having me. I just couldn't bring myself to go to class. I really struggled with attendance. And as such, I failed out. I also behaved really badly and was thrown out of the dorms. And then I kind of upped and dropped out. So that was why I left early.
So if you had to take a guess how often you went to class, like, were you just partying the entire time? Like, what percentage of classes did you go to?
Well, I can tell you that for the first semester, actually, my first semester wasn't so bad. It was my second semester. My first whole year cumulative GPA was, .079? I don't know. Yeah, 0.79 sounds about right.
All right.
Okay. So that'll tell you.
What can you tell us about graduating? You didn't graduate from UM, but you did graduate from the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Clown College. You didn't have any more trouble important. Graduating there. Yeah, more important, sure.
Right, for sure. Now, what happened was when I dropped out of the University of Miami, I was homeless for 3 years, sort of couch surfing and roaming around. But I spent most of the 3 years just still living on campus at the University of Miami, vagrant style. And I befriended the University of Miami dive team, which, with the platform diving, it was a real Olympic factory over there. And this one apartment in the student athletic apartments housed the number one, the number two, and the number three ranked Olympic platform divers for the NCAA. And these guys kind of took a liking to me. I was like this maniac. I said, I'm going to become a crazy famous stuntman. I'm going to do all these crazy stunts. And they took me under their wing and taught me how to do like a perfect standing backflip, how to walk up and down stairs on my hands, all this fun stuff. And I was really determined to become a stuntman. I taught myself with the standing backflip how to simultaneously breathe fire while rotating the backflip and all kinds of cool stuff. But I wasn't really getting any traction, as far as having a real career. So when I found out about Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Clown College, I thought, oh, well, this is it. Because if I graduate from Clown College, then people will be forced to respect me as a stuntman because I'll be a trained circus performer. So I'm the only guy who ever went to Clown College seeking legitimacy. And it was good. It is especially funny was when I was going to Clown College, my cousin was attending a mortuary school to learn how to become a mortician. And our mothers were intensely debating whose son was a bigger loser.
What are the details that you can share with us about how sad it was to work at the flea market circus?
The flea market circus, I mean, personally, I wasn't sad at all. I thought it was kind of cool. I got paid in cash, $500 every week. And that's fueled my drug habit. I was a terribly cocaine addicted flea market circus clown. And 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 life was good.
Life was good. Oh, God. Steve with us here on ESPN Radio. I guess with that in mind and going back to your education, it appears the real education you got was in a bathroom one night with Mike Tyson.
That definitely played into it. Absolutely. Yeah. I met Mike Tyson at it was a weird situation. There was I recall it being like a nightclub or a bar or something. Mike Tyson was there. It was kind of exciting. It was a big deal. And I sort of caught wind that everybody in this group was headed to a house party and sort of figured out where it was. And I showed up uninvited. And I went and rang the doorbell at this house that I was not invited to. And the person who opened up the door was actually Mike Tyson. And I said, is it cool if I come in? And he said, you got any Coke? And I was like, yeah, dude, I have a bunch, like lots. And so he like, kind of threw this, it was like he threw a punch past me is what it felt like, and then hooked it around the back of my head, like yanking me into the house. and we went straight into this little bathroom in the house, locked ourselves in there, and proceeded to go through so much cocaine. Oh, it was absurd. I had cocaine in each pocket of my jeans, one pocket I had a full, known as an eight ball, an eighth of an ounce, which was untouched. And then in another pocket, I had an eight ball that was like halfway, you know, we went through all of it. It was probably 5 grams of cocaine, which is a lot.
Good and, God.
It took us about 3 hours, I think.
What?
And, oh, God, it was so crazy. Mike had this way of doing cocaine, which was just fascinating to me, where he took a cigarette and rolled it back and forth in his fingers such that all of the tobacco fell out, leaving only a cylinder of empty or paper, just a tube of paper in the filter. And then he just started scooping just cocaine, just pure cocaine into it, not mixed with tobacco or anything, just into this tube of paper. And I'm thinking, like, there's no way that could possibly work, you know, like, logistically. You can't, but he made it work. He filled it with nothing but powder cocaine and smoked the whole thing. And here we're locked in this little bathroom, and it's like you can almost hardly see through, like, this dense cocaine smoke in this bathroom, and I'm snorting lines. I just kept supplying him. He smoked these crazy cocaine cigarettes one after another until it was all gone, and it really was a night to remember.
All right, we're going to talk to you tomorrow, okay? We need to talk to you tomorrow. We have to talk to you tomorrow. Do not, like, disappear on us. We need to continue this conversation tomorrow, okay?
I think tomorrow I'm actually driving. Well, today I'm driving up to visit with my fiance's family. But I would love to come back on. And I'd love for everybody to know, too, that I've started this insane podcast called Wild Ride with Steve-O. And it's available everywhere podcasts are consumed. The last one I put up just two days ago was with Shaquille O'Neal, which I'm pretty thrilled about. I've had Tony Hawk on there, Ronda Rousey. Some really pretty good ones. We're getting ready to do Dana White next.
We'll promote it again tomorrow. When we talk to you tomorrow, we'll talk to you about it tomorrow, okay? We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Steve-O.
Hey, you guys are the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve-O.
The polls next.